Good afternoon. I'm Florence Schwein, your host for today's El Paso Primetime. And if you have been listening, you'll know that I have with me El Paso fitness and nutrition expert, Patrick Hopkins. And we are continuing our series with filling my grocery cart with the best foods for good nutrition. Patrick holds a BS in nutritional science from California Polytech State University. Thank you for your time and your expertise, Patrick.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a joy. Although we are spending more time than I have ever spent in a grocery store, I already know that the benefits of your tutoring, I'm going to be able to look for the best nutrition for my money. Although I'm shopping for two people in our 70s, hints are good for all age groups and family sizes. I guarantee that. By the way, if you've missed our past shows, you can find them at ktep.org by clicking on Past Programs. In the archives, scroll down to El Paso Primetime. Patrick, the last segment we looked at, all types of sugars in our foods, and the importance of reading labels was all too clear by the end of the show. Sugars are in our prepared foods by many names. Would you repeat some of those names that we've found on labels for the sugars?
Sure. Oligosaccharides, dextrose, fructose, high fructose corn syrup, sucrose, glucose. And that's not even to talk about all of our sugar alcohols that are crazy names, xylose, mannose. There are just a ton of sugars that are a part of our food industry, and it's something that we're going to have to get used to because it's not going to change.
So we just have to become better educated ourselves.
Exactly. Education is the key to controlling our food preferences and our choices in the grocery store.
Yeah. And especially for seniors, there's another concern that I have, and that's salt in foods. So let me just mention this to our listeners, and then we'll begin to get to those center aisle things. If you are just joining us, I'm Florence Schwein, and my guest is nutritionist and personal trainer Patrick Hopkins. And this is our fifth segment of filling my grocery cart with foods that make sense and are good for us. Please remember that this adventure is a challenge for educational purposes only and not an endorsement of any particular product nor grocery store. Here we are in the middle of the aisles of the grocery store and the place where you can find all those boxed, packaged, and canned foods, things that we want in our pantry shelves to make quick meals. Packaged foods, pastas, noodles, tell me.
Yeah, packaged foods are very much an abundance item in our shelves and in our cupboards these days, namely because we're such a quick fix society. We're on the go. We're so fast. So people get home from work and they're looking for something to be prepared inside 10, 15 minutes and minimal expense at the same time. So these are something that we're not going to get away from. But again, educating ourselves in choosing the right packaged foods, we can always find some healthy choices. Absolutely. Pastas and noodles, again, with the whole bread concept, carbs have got a real bad rap in the last 5 to 10 years. And there's nothing wrong with pasta, again, in moderation. And there are different types of pastas we can choose from. I would prefer to see whole wheat pastas.
It doesn't taste quite the same.
You're absolutely right. And so there, we have to sacrifice to some degree flavor and texture and what we're used to for better nutrition. And that's, it takes some effort to change your body.
It actually takes a little bit of tweaking those recipes. And
sure.
And I can make a good spaghetti with whole wheat.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of pastas, there's a product out. It's called quinoa.
Oh,
it
is.
Yeah, you're familiar with quinoa, I'm sure. We can't find it at too many grocery stores. Our our healthier food stores mm-hmm. in the area have it. But it's a grain, and mm-hmm. it's extremely low in the glycemic index. You cook it just like pasta. It comes in elbows and rotelli and long spaghetti style. And they've really done a wonderful job of making it look, taste, and appear as though it's regular pasta. It cooks up just like pasta. Mm-hmm. You would cook it the exact same way. And quite honestly, once you throw some sauce on there, and if you're going to do a meat sauce or whatever mm-hmm. it is, I would imagine that most people would not be able to tell the difference.
Right, honestly. And especially if you put some fresh herbs in it.
Yeah.
It really does.
And again, that's where, you know, boning up on your herbs, like you said, on your spices, like you said, can alter a meal mm-hmm. substantially and make it so much more tasty in spite of it being really nutritionally sound at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that much more expensive either.
No, it really isn't.
And I think it's just a matter of people learning about it.
I think you're right. It's a great choice for diabetic patients.
Mm-hmm.
It will not induce that crazy insulin spike like some of your pastas will. I really employ that product in my meal planning for my clientele to a large degree.
And I've actually frozen it with tomato sauce on it.
Mm-hmm. And it does pretty well.
And it does okay.
Okay, mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
I have yet to see lasagna-based quinoa come out, the lasagna noodles, and that will be great when that comes out because you can make some great dishes with that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the health food stores here do have that, mm-hmm. That product. So that's a good hint for mm-hmm. our
sure,
people.
Absolutely. And, incidentally, that's spelled Q-U-I-N-O-A, quinoa.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So look for that, and it comes in boxes and bags, and typically you could find that, like I said. I think the only area that I've really found it in is our local Sprouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Well, how about rice? That's another one.
Rice is also different. Rice.
Oh, there's so many.
There are so many. Mm-hmm. And there are wheat-based rices. There are basmati rices. There's takeoffs of rices that are more grainy in nature, like bulgur and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people think of rice in their traditional brown and white rice.
Or wild rice.
Wild rice, sure. There is a huge difference, however, in the difference between grains. A short grain white rice that's typically used in Japanese dishes is much higher in the glycemic index than your traditional long grain white rice.
And it's sticky, too.
Yeah,
I can eat it with chopsticks.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole purpose behind it being a Japanese, mm-hmm. you know, because they make the rolls and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So the difference between the brown and the white rice in terms of glycemic index is not substantial, maybe anywhere from 5 to 8 points, depending
oh, really?
On which glycemic index you're looking
me.
At. And incidentally, we talked about glycemic index last week, and you will see a wide variance in food products, for example, white rice.
Mm-hmm.
One glycemic index on a website will show X number. Another will show a number that's 3 to 4 points plus or minus that. So don't get hung up on finding the lowest number or the best glycemic index. It's probably better to just take an average of all of them. But mm-hmm. most of your rice.
So you're saying that brown rice and white rice aren't that far apart?
Aren't that far apart. No, you'll find you'll find brown rices in the 48s, and uh-huh. you can find white rices in the same number or up into the 51, 53s, 5s in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still considered low. So mm-hmm. it's not terrible. And then you'll see other white rices that are up in the 60s, and that's probably the difference in the grain.
In the grain itself. Mm-hmm.
The length of the grain.
Yeah. And by the way, I discovered that rice freezes well, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cooked rice, I have a rice cooker, and I cook the whole thing, and then I package it in meal size, and I always have it. It
right.
thaws quickly. I can
it
put pepper
dries
in
dries out to some degree, you're right. And then what I typically do, if my rice cooker, I'll just pull my rice cooker and put it in the fridge, and if it sits in there for a couple of days, it will dry out. I'll pull out my portion. I'll knead a little bit of water into it, and I'll nuke it for 2 minutes, and it's rehydrated.
Yeah. Now, see, what I do is once I cook it, I put it in little baggies and stick it in the freezer in the right size.
Yeah.
And then when I need it, I pull it out and put
perfect
bell peppers in it or whatever I'm going
to
do.
And that's a great way to reduce food prep in the future. So if you have those little baggies in your freezer,
mm-hmm.
you can just pull from them instead of having to bust out with the rice cooker and spend another 20 minutes cooking
right.
your rice.
Right.
Yeah,
and
shorts.
I cook my rice for the whole month.
Right. Quick little steps.
Yeah. I can't be bothered with washing the thing again. Anyway, how about beans?
Beans are actually incredible. They fall under the category of legumes, mm-hmm. and legumes are extremely low in the glycemic index. I am a huge proponent of beans. Fiber source on beans are extremely high. There's a lot of vitamins and minerals in them, and the glycemic index on them, like I said, is really low.
And protein? So,
well, now we're getting into combining carbohydrates and amino acids from different forms of carbohydrates to create whole proteins. But to answer your question, are beans a whole protein in and of themselves? No.
No.
You will never find a whole protein vegetable source.
You can combine rice and beans?
If you combine rice and beans, will it make whole proteins? Technically, yes.
Okay.
But your body has to work for that.
Oh.
You know? Your body has to create that. So it's expending energy and the amount of protein, whole proteins that are actually created in the aftermath of combining those, who knows? We don't really know, honestly.
Oh, back to the science.
Back to the science. And we're also, so what's happening when you combine your rice and your beans to create whole proteins? You're doubling up on your carbohydrate sources. And we as Americans are over consumers of carbs. And we lack consumption of good quality lean-based proteins. And that's why we're putting on the weight.
So we need to really watch that.
Right, exactly.
And look at the whole-based proteins.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of proteins, we get it in meats,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
And here we are, canned meats. Let's see. You're much younger. Do you remember Spam?
I absolutely remember Spam. My mother was – I don't remember my mom kicking down the Spam a whole lot to us. I don't remember that. However, yes, I'm old enough, unfortunately,
I think that came
Spam.
About after World War II.
Yeah.
Probably. Look, there's chicken in the can, there's tuna, oysters, sardines, potted meats. You know, tuna's always on my shopping list. Sardines, I like them.
Okay.
Husband
definitely
doesn't.
An acquired taste, I think.
I think so.
But there's, fat intake on sardines are a little bit higher only because it's a cold water fish. Uh-huh. And you can actually see it. When you open your can,
yeah.
you can see the fat at the top, uh-huh. right? Potted meats, I honestly don't know a whole lot about potted meats.
It could be anything in there.
It really could. I think you're getting it's the Heinz 57 of meats, I think. Oysters, I know that some people like oysters. Mm-hmm. I typically would always prefer something fresh as opposed to canned. You lose mm-hmm. an awful lot of nutrient value in a canning
in a
process.
Tuna fish. I get the water, the mm-hmm. spring water tuna fish, but...
You wouldn't believe how many people actually choose tuna in vegetable oil still. It's amazing to me how many people choose that.
From your language now that
that's probably
an
not
oil
a great,
is not a great idea.
Because what's going to happen, you're going to have tuna fish in oil, and then most people are also going to add mayo to it. So now we're really getting way up there in the fats, and you probably won't taste a huge difference if you switch over
just
to water,
water
and then still add your mayo.
Yeah,
you know?
Save these
and you can bone it up
things.
With, you know, some diced onion mm-hmm. or some diced pickle and mm-hmm. and throw your mustard in there and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think tuna is a great choice. I think tuna in the cupboard is definitely a staple. I personally don't prefer just regular tuna. I like the albacore. I've eaten thousands mm-hmm. of cans of tuna in my lifetime In the last few years, I have definitely switched over to the white tuna, the albacore mm-hmm. tuna. It's just so much. It's the brown stuff that I see in the regular canned tuna that just, mm-hmm. it's got that little funky, fishy flavor to
it. Doesn't do it for you?
No, it doesn't work. The canned chicken, I think, is a great last-minute, quick-reach protein source. It's probably not the greatest in the world. Again, because it's canned, we're also probably looking at a lot of sodium in there.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you get a chicken with a breast chicken in the can, mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a good idea to have a canned meat at least on the shelf.
Sure.
If the electric is off or whatever.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Having those staples in the cupboard is a very smart thing.
A few of those things mm-hmm. To have in the cupboard that you really can rely on if you need to.
Right.
So have we kind of exhausted those canned meats?
So.
I can't think
I think
of anything
so.
Else that, but anyway, canned fruit. Applesauce is always on my list.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the non-sweetened.
You would choose. I was just going to say, I'm sure you choose the unsweetened.
Well, and I use it in making bread, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great additive to mm-hmm. baking products. You're mm-hmm. absolutely right. Mm-hmm. A lot of people sub out the applesauce for more eggs and whatnot. And yeah, it works mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. More oil, mm-hmm. you know. Canned fruit is great. However, you know, as a nutritionist, my first default is nutritive value. And you lose so much of it during the canning process.
Mm-hmm.
I would much prefer whole fruits, fresh whole fruits, even fresh frozen fruits.
Frozen.
You know, we talked earlier about our flash freezing technology is so advanced now. Things are frozen inside 30 to 45
That's
seconds.
Great.
It really is. So it's holding that nutrient value. Again, depending on some of the types of fruits that we freeze, you know, you get that cellular lysis, the cell freezes and then expands and then weeps, and you know, you get that with your strawberries and whatnot. But most times I would probably choose against the canned fruit, largely because people don't have a tendency to choose canned fruits in their own syrup.
Or in pear heavy. Syrup. I noticed that a lot of these here
right.
have pear syrup.
Mm-hmm. Much less sugar in pear
syrup.
Is that
it?
Yeah, compared to a heavy syrup, absolutely, mm-hmm. much less sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're still looking for flavor. They're still mm-hmm. looking for sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, canned fruit, I don't think I would go too far with canned fruits. I would much rather make a fruit salad with whole fresh fruits.
Right, right. Mandarin oranges, though. I get those canned.
Yeah.
They're
not, I mean, if you taste mandarin oranges that just come out of the can, it's not like there's an abundance of sugar that's following.
No. And you can really rinse them.
And that's a great point with your canned meat or canned fruits. If you accidentally get one in heavy syrup, you can always rinse.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, for instance, if you're going to make a pie and you want to use a canned fruit, you can even rinse those pie sliced or
mm-hmm.
or pie.
Yeah, they come awfully coated with all that sugar,
all,
don't they?
A lot.
The apples and
so
the,
you can rinse that apple.
Right.
I used to be able to get pie sliced apples, not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you're making a Dutch apple pie, mm-hmm. you can rinse those apples.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some value to having, you know, the canned fruit like that because that apple is soft.
Right.
And
you're ready to go.
Yeah, you're ready to go. So rinsing it and then replacing it with even maybe a sugar substitute like a Splenda and a
mm-hmm.
little bit of molasses or some light brown sugar, and then you're right back into your Dutch apple again,
and
you know.
With a lot less calories.
Sure, absolutely.
And also, that helps with the time constraints
mm-hmm.
sometimes, I think. Patrick, we need to get some crackers. You know, when we do things, we sometimes want crackers and cheese
mm-hmm.
or crackers and peanut butter or crackers with soup.
Fortunately, crackers are, you know, there's a lot of reduced fat varieties
right.
now.
And so, reduced salt.
Yeah.
We're
seeing less sodium on the market now, too.
Mm-hmm.
So those are always my choices. You know, my goal is not to completely stifle someone's nutritional value.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to live and they still have to enjoy their foods to some degree. So crackers, yeah, sure. It's not something that I promote to a large degree in my meal planning. However, it is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even for our children, as parents choosing better choices for our children, you know, if a kid starts off with a reduced fat cracker style, they would never know the difference.
Oh, so, right.
You know, but when you start them on full fat crackers, you know, there's not that big of a difference between reduced fat Ritz and whole fat Ritz.
And
know?
When I can sneak in some of the better foods for me in place of.
And that's exactly right.
I mean, just save those little pennies.
You're right. If you can save some fat in one area to add some fun flavor fat in another area, and also you're saving money at the same time, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. And it's practical.
Very practical.
Let's just
and nutritious.
Okay. Better hit those potato chips, tortilla chips, pretzels. Now that I've got him going here, listeners, we'll go for the heavy stuff.
Pretzels have always been a great source for a snacking food like that largely because of the fat, because pretzels have such minimal amount of fat.
Also,
most times, no fat.
And some of them are getting to have less sodium.
Yeah, you'll see low sodium choices. The bigger pretzels, you know, the big, thick.
Yeah, the
fingers,
Philadelphia.
Yeah, those are great.
I lived in Jersey for about 9 years, so I know about Philly pretzels and mustard on them. They sell them on the street corners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tortilla chips and potato chips, we're seeing a lot of reduced fat.
Right.
Your Lay's brand has really come out with a variety of different loads.
And they bake their chips.
Yeah, it's their bake style. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different flavors. The Lay's product is a great product line, and they've come out with a lot of different varieties. That's a great choice. Tortilla chips typically come out. You can get the scoops. Mm-hmm.
And
these
you get baked ones.
Yeah, you can get the baked scoops, you know. And those are low. But then again,
Careful what you're scooping.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, be careful what you're scooping.
Salsa.
If you're scooping a bunch of avocado and you've downed four avocados in the course of eating your chips, that's probably not the best idea.
That's not the idea. How about nuts instead?
Nuts are fine. You know, again, nuts are typically in upwards of the 80% fat area.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, most people think of nuts as a whole protein. So, I'm getting nuts, so I'm getting my whole protein. It's protein. And nuts alone are not going to be a good quality protein source for you at all.
Yeah.
There are some value to nuts.
Watch all that salt, though.
Yeah, there's an awful lot. Yeah, you're right. And frankly, the lower sodium ones, have you ever eaten the peanuts without salt?
Mm-hmm.
They just don't taste the same. It's just not. It's not like a peanut. Like should be, you know, like a roasted salty peanut. I think
get
most
the peanuts
people
in the shell. Then you have to work for
there
it.
There you go. Yeah, but even still, there's salt on the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
but you're not eating that.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. But you get the flavor from it. Seems
mm-hmm.
like.
Yeah.
So nuts. Probably I'm not a huge nut fan.
I like nuts. Okay, better get something for the sweet tooth at my house. German chocolate cake with pecan frosting in the cake mixes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think when it comes to these kind of things, there aren't a whole lot of lower fat styles that you'll see on the box, like a reduced fat.
Yeah, some of them, muffins, you can see that.
Mm-hmm. However, in the baking process, they do typically offer a reduced fat baking style. In other words, we talked about the applesauce, so pull out X oil and replace it with X applesauce at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving instruction for a leaner, more nutritiously sound type of product, yes.
And you can find some of those mixes now that are lower fat.
You know, and online, there's a ton of help online with, you know, revamping what you've purchased in the store and creating a more nutritiously sound end product.
That's a good hint.
Yeah.
Condiments. We better get some pickles and, mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, dressings. What do we do here?
Well, I think pickles are great. I think there's a lot of flavor. We are dealing with sodium.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with sodium in the pickles. Olives, you know, olives make olive oil. So obviously there's a lot of fat in olives. But I think there's a place and a time for olives as well, green olives and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. You can get a lot of flavor with just a little bit.
You sure can, especially if you dice it up a little bit. Or, you know, I typically like to put green olives in my meat-based spaghetti sauce, and it adds a whole different flavor to it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Dressings are, we've talked a lot about food labeling, and dressings are one of those areas that the food manufacturers have really kind of hampered on the ignorance of the consumer in increasing serving sizes to make it look like it's a lower-fat product. So keep an eye on dressings. When you see something that might say low-fat or specifically fat-free, check the ingredients list. And if you see some fat in there, then you know that they've just dumped the wire. Yeah, they've just dumped the serving size to be able to substantiate saying fat-free.
Mm-hmm.
Mustard's pretty basic. Ketchups, you know, they've got some lower sugar-based ketchups out on the market, especially.
And mustard doesn't really have sugar.
No, mustard.
It's
vinegar mustard's actually,
and mustard seed.
Mustard's actually one of those catabolic foods where it almost creates more of an energy breakdown situation than it does to promote calories, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lots of flavor without a lot of junk.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mayonnaise, there are huge varieties of mayonnaise. It's pretty hard for me to get some of my clients who have always eaten full-fat mayonnaise to switch over to a fat-free. So buffering that with a low-fat or a reduced-fat mayonnaise works a little bit better. And then salsa, you know, there's salsa, and you're getting some tomatoes, hopefully some whole tomatoes, and it's just a spice that adds variety to your food, and it makes your food a little bit more palatable. So I don't have any issues with salsa.
Just watch how much you're putting on those scoops.
I typically add – I buy the little cans of green enchilada sauce, and I put green enchilada sauce on so many of my my prepared foods. Yeah, it adds a lot of flavor and minimal calories.
Okay, let's grab the soups. Before we go, canned soups, tomato soup. I mean, you know, every little kid
has. It's a staple.
Yeah.
You're right. Soups, I guess the only big concern I have with soups is the sodium. They're just chock full of sodium.
Yeah, and thank goodness there's some low sodium ones out there now.
That's very common in the marketplace now to find low sodium based products. So keep an eye on those, and typically you're not going to see that big of a difference. Sodium's a huge issue, and hypertension's definitely on the rise in America. The RDA for sodium in our diets is roughly 5 grams. So that's 5,000 milligrams, and some of these cans have upwards of 1,000 milligrams
just in
the serving size. So be careful with your soups, and it would probably behoove you to choose the lower sodium styles. Yes.
Yeah. The differences between packaged soups and canned soups. You know, the dry soups that come in packages?
Yeah, I think the good thing about the packaged soups is that there's a little bit of control in how much of the sodium that you introduce into your end product.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the packaged products come with a little salt packet that that you add in, and you can reduce how much, you can control how much of that packet you add.
You can also add a little bit more water.
Sure,
and you're reducing it. So there's
another
little hint out there for our listeners. Well, we're going to have to get to that dairy case next week, I guess. And we're staying in this grocery store for a good long time.
We sure have been in there for a while. We finally made it to the center, though.
Yeah, we got through the center. Listeners, if you want to contact this amazing health professional, you can reach him by phone at
830-431-1242.
Or visit his website at
www.builtbypatrick.com.
I'm so grateful to you and the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation for your endeavors in promoting good health for all of us. Thanks also to Dennis Wu, our producer, who makes it possible to get El Paso Primetime on the air here at KTEP. I'm Florence Schwein. I'll be able to do it again.